Come on. Clock? No. No, check that. Come on. Clock.
The clock.
Why am I saying, come on, clock?
The clock.
I'm trying to get the clock to spin faster. Not to get to the weekend, but to get to 10:20 when the big head shows up. James Kelly. He's 20 minutes out. He's not in studio, but he will be on the phones with some picks, and he's coming off an extremely triumphant week one. Come on, Mav. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I feel great. Like I said, big time bounce back Friday. I got hit with some early adversity in the morning. Man, I played right through it. Bounced right back. Gave me juice, energy, confidence for the entire day. We already had Sam Amick on, and I've got some reaction. Well, I did have some reaction, and now it's gone. This guy, East Bay Troy, taking a five-hour nap after sleeping 8 hours is considered focused and determined? Yeah, well, then we're golden. Signed, Housewives. Damn, Troy, really? Hawk, what did you do with the reaction to Sam Amick? There it is. Casey in New Hampshire had written, Sam Amick's interviews are solid. Dude is casual, but he drops some interesting knowledge. Oh, no, Sam. Sam's one of the best dudes that there is. Great dude and a great reporter. I love Sam Amick. And I love that he did that poolside as somebody did a cannonball. I mean, a five-hour nap before a game? A five-hour nap? After a normal eight-hour night of sleep. My man is sleeping 13 hours on game days? Dude, I don't get that much sleep in a week. Come on now. And I got nothing but respect. I have nothing but respect for Nap Nation. I so badly want to be a member of Nap Nation, I do not have it in me. I can't do it. I can't nap. And I want to be that guy. I just can't. You know what else I want to be? I want to be 13-hour-a-day sleep guy. I got one of those in my house. No names mentioned. Freaking Logan. Logan's unbelievable. Logan and I were hanging out. Janet went to Wisconsin, and Jake is at COVID U. Yeah, I'm making light of that because what university isn't COVID U right now? No, Jake does not have it, but a lot of kids do. Anyway, it's just Logan and I last weekend together. Logan and I hang out on Saturday night and just boys' time, you know, watching ball, having a barbecue. I'm having an adult beverage. He's having his root beer. Great time. So we go to bed. Actually, I go to bed and I let him go FaceTime with his friends. And I'm like, hey, man, just shut it down at 11. Shut it down at 11. This is Saturday night. I get up Sunday morning at 5 a.m. Jump on the Peloton. No, that's not true. I get up at 5 a.m. I go to Starbucks. I get the Nitro Brew. Then I jump on the Peloton. Then I drive back out, get myself a smoothie. Then I come back in, start grinding it out. It's Sunday, NFL. Going hard, going hard, going hard. I can't find the kid. 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. Nowhere. And it's just he and I in the house. I finally go upstairs. I'm like, bro, man, get out of bed. Get up out of bed. 11:30. Sucker. And Logan are both the 13-hour men. That kid would still be asleep if I didn't pull him out at 11:30. Give anything for it. James Kelly's like, dude, why is the boss man blowing me up at 5 a.m.? You know why? Because I was awake, bro. Yeah, and the best thing about Kelly, he was too. You know how you know? Because it was week one of the NFL season. Of course, that big head was up. 1-800-636-8686. We are now 16 minutes away from the big head. So let me change up and talk a little baseball with you. It's a time like right about now, the way the world is, like we're all drunk on recency bias. We all tend to be prisoners of the moment. It's so easy to get caught up and label somebody or something as the greatest of all time because we just saw it. It's fresh on our mind, and we have like no perspective for history at all. That's not the case here. Minnesota Twins third baseman Josh Donaldson just achieved the greatest ejection from a baseball game of all time. Yeah, I said it. And I know what we're up against. I remember Lloyd McClendon leaving the field with first base. One of my favorite moments, not just in baseball, but in life. In life. Whoever forget Sweet Lou Piniella. He famously played a solo game of soccer with his lid back in 98. I mean, I can go on and on and on. Somehow, though, Josh Donaldson upstaged all of it. Let's get to the magic. Twins in Chicago to play the White Sox. Top of the first. Donaldson is at the dish. 1-1 count. Takes a pitch that he thinks is high. It's called a strike. In fairness to Donaldson, the pitch was high. It was really high. A curveball that never came down. A visibly pissed off Donaldson then strikes out swinging on the next pitch. But you know that's not the pitch he's thinking about. Then in the third inning, he looks at a first pitch that appeared to be low and outside, but of course was called a strike. He ends up flying out shortly after in the same at bat. But now the guy is starting to fume. You can see it. You can see it in his body language. It's not hard to see at all. Two balls that were called strikes against him, and now it's under his skin, which brings us to the sixth. Now we arrive at the fireworks. Donaldson back at the plate. Tie game, 2-0 count, batter's count, even if the ump is jamming him, look out.
That's a strike, 2-1, a much needed strike, and Donaldson's not going to like it.
Well, he can't believe it, first of all. He says, I'm asking you if it was called or if I swung, or you thought I swung.
He's really giving it to Dan Bellino.
Yep, but Dan's giving it right back. And now, Dan is hearing it from Rocco. Look, what Rocco wants to do here, he wants to protect Donaldson. So he wants to put the emphasis on him and take it away from Josh Donaldson.
All right, so there's a lot going on right there. First off, Donaldson checked his swing on another ball, low and outside. But again, called a strike. So Donaldson is boiling already, but he had a legitimate question for the home plate umpire. He wanted to know, did you call that a strike, or are you saying that I went around and offered at it? Because there is a difference. And then things are starting to get chippy. So twin skipper Rocco Baldelli starts to do the chirping for Donaldson to make sure that he saves his slugger in a tie game that was getting late. All right. Then on the very next pitch, this happens.
Uh-oh. Donaldson to left field.
Bam.
And he sends it out of here. So Minnesota has retaken the lead again on another solo home run.
Now, you got to understand, unless you're watching this on CBS Sports Network or you saw it, you have no idea that that was an all-time swag move right there. You get three balls called as strikes against you over the course of the game, and then you launch one out of the great state of Illinois in frustration to break the tie. It was awesome. An awesome moment. An awesome moment that was about to get even better because when Donaldson was crossing home plate in front of the umpire, who he obviously cannot stand, this is what happened.
Josh Donaldson just kicked dirt as he came across the plate and Dan Bellino ran him on the way by. He kicked dirt at Dan Bellino and he got thrown out, and rightfully so. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's in the file of really dumb things that players do. That's right up there.
It's absolutely ejectable. He leaves home plate happy, and then he leaves the ball game after that.
And, of course, he forgot the don't walk away in anger philosophy. Yeah, that's not bright.
That's not bright. If by that being not bright you mean the smartest thing ever, then I would agree. That's not bright. Dude's chill. That was like one of the greatest things I've ever seen. In terms of a baseball ejection. Again, this dude has been getting squeezed and jobbed all day long. He jumps ship. One pitch after a heated argument. He breaks the tie in the game. He kicks dirt all over home plate as he crosses the dish. only to get run at the end of a home run trot. This guy got run literally before he even crossed home plate. And see, that's the thing. He didn't even cross home plate. Like, understand this, first of all, about kicking dirt on home plate. Kicking dirt on home plate is the biggest FU to an umpire that there is. Because what you're saying is, this plate, the thing that you're most responsible for, the plate that you're governing, yeah, here's what I think of it. It's trash. You're trash. All right? Hey, old man, why don't you bend over with that stupid little brush you have and clean up my mess, you trash bum? Besides just hawking one in the umpire's face, Robbie Alomar style. And that takes me back. Remember that? John Hirschbeck and Robbie Alomar. I used to talk to Robbie Alomar about that. Robbie Alomar used to always come on this show. What a great player he was. And then that, and because that was such a bad thing and such a bad moment, we didn't talk too much after that, but, and then he tried to make it right. Anyway, that aside, because that's the worst thing you could do to an umpire, this is the second worst thing you can do to an umpire. Hit a home run, take your time going around the bases, actually speed up to get around the bases so you can get to home plate to do what you really want to do. Kick dirt all over it. Earl Weaver would be very proud. That's disrespectful. And then on top of that, to me the best part, aside from him kicking dirt all over home plate, was Donaldson ended up missing home plate because he was so busy sweeping dirt all over home plate. He actually had to double back and touch home. And then when he did that, he kicked even more dirt on home plate. Now, you heard how bent the White Sox broadcast was. Here's how it sounded from the Twin side.
He tossed him. They just tossed Donaldson for kicking dirt on home plate as he crossed home plate. Donaldson kicked dirt on home plate as he crossed it, and Dan Bellino's just kicked him out of the game.
I have never seen a guy get thrown out after hitting a home run. I mean, I shouldn't be laughing, but I mean, I've never seen that before.
That's because nobody's ever done that after a home run. And you should be laughing. Do you know why you should be laughing? Because it was hilarious. And it wasn't enough that Donaldson overcame those terrible calls and went yard. He had to bury home plate in dirt twice. Once when he crossed, and the second time when he came back to touch the dish and finish the job. And if you really want to be technical about this, if you check the video closely, you can see that the ump ran him before he doubled back and touches home, which means that JD actually got ejected before he scored the run, which is another baseball first. Luckily, nobody reviewed the tape and the home run stood because that's still the biggest FU home run ever. I mean, you could argue, I suppose, that kicking home or dirt on home plate is childish. But you can't help but laugh when you see a grown man do it. It's like putting your finger on somebody's chest, having them look down, and then you flicking them in the nose. There are just some things that are super sophomoric that are super funny. I've said this before, and I'll say it again right now because this will never change. I'll say this when I'm 90. And if somebody did it to me when I was 90, I would think it's funny. Whenever an adult crouches behind somebody else on all fours, and you walk up to the guy standing and you shove them as hard as you can in the chest and they fall backwards over you, that's not stupid or sophomoric. That's funny as hell. Try that. Into a pool. Now, I know we're supposed to be socially distancing, so maybe you don't try that just yet, but you try that. If you're over the age of 21 and you partake in that little game, it'll be funny. The only downside, I guess there is this, with Donaldson is he did run himself out of a game where the Twins needed him because they would go on to cough up the lead an inning later and never get it back. Little footnote, they lost. That's how awesome I thought that moment was. Like, I'm the guy who's like, scoreboard, scoreboard. It's the only thing that matters. Unless a guy hits a home run and then kicks a bunch of dirt over home plate. And then it's okay to lose. In a pandemic. At the end of the season. Yeah, I mean, I guess. I'm pretty sure the Twins probably could have used that power and the efficiency of a number two hitter like him in a game that did have serious implications in the division. So, as I always ask, was it worth it? Hope that was worth it. And if you ask me, it was. Then again, I don't play for the Twins. I just work on the radio. And when I see a grown man kicking dirt all over another grown man's home plate during a home run trot and then double back to do it a second time and gets run, that makes me laugh. I'm going to argue that that might be the greatest ejection of all time. And that he's got nothing to apologize for, even though they lost and they could have used his bat late.
I've never seen that before.
You know why you've never seen that before? Because that's never happened before. And now it's time. It's time for a break. And when we come out of that break, we talk to a man with an extremely large head. He's got a lot of intel rattling around in that large head. He is James Kelly, the flight deck. Do business more powerfully during Dell's semi-annual sale. Save up to 45% on Dell computers and servers with Intel Core processors. It is time for you to upgrade to new modern devices with Windows 10. Also, save on electronics and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Just call 877-ASK-DELL. 877-ASK-DELL and speak to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find just the right tech. 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Here we are. Here the bleep we are. One of my favorite times of the week. Welcome back. My name is Jim Rome, and I speak with you on this Friday. Still ahead, I've got Jordan Poyer, Bills defensive back. That's coming up next segment. Next hour at some point, Packers linebacker Christian Kirksey. But we're joined by a very good friend of the program who happens to work on the program, and we're going to talk a little gambling. And here's what I want to say about that. If gambling were easy, everybody would do it, and it would not be called gambling. It would be known as investing, but it's not easy, and everybody does not do it. Picking games is one of the toughest things that anybody can do, especially against the spread. Ask my guy, Trevor Price. He put on an absolute fade clinic two seasons ago. A fade clinic that we delighted in replaying over and over and over again is my man doinked. Seven straight picks over a three-week period.
The price is wrong, bitch.
He went 0-7. This is a former NFL player who went 0-7 picking NFL games. A great player with a beautiful mind. And he went 0-7. This is how hard it is to pick NFL games against the spread. Since then, the Jungle's very own digital content director, James Kelly, a.k.a. the flight deck, a.k.a. the big head, has stepped up to fill the prognosticator void, and he's been doing a damn good job since. Last week, without a preseason to go off of, the deck swung through the jungle and straight cold-cocked his bookie right in the head. Check this out.
I love the Steelers at the Giants. I hit them at -5. I love the Steelers.
Roethlisberger looks right. Knocked down. Still fighting for the end zone is Washington. He's in.
The Steelers take the lead.
That's all there is to it. A winner.
Saints are -3.5. Are you taking them?
Yeah, I'm going to because I think they will be geeked up for Tom Brady. So I'm going to hit the Saints -3.5.
This one's packed. Back the other way. For the touchdown, it's Janoris Jenkins, a pick six.
Damn. Just like that. That's all there is to it. A winner.
Detroit v. Chicago. Do you trust Mitch enough to take the 3 points that are available to you?
I do. I'm going to take Mitch. I'm going to ride Mitchell Trubisky here, Jim, in +3.
And the game is over, and the Chicago Bears stage a dramatic fourth quarter turnaround.
Bam. That's all there is to it.
Bolts, Bengals. Bolts are -3. Who you got there?
I'm going to take the Chargers on the road -3.
Field goal try by Bullock to tie it.
Oh, he missed! He missed! Oh, and he may have pulled a hamstring or a...
Is it real good?
there anything else you like?
Colts, -7.5 at Jacksonville. I think they cover easily, -7.5.
Minshew puts an air red run wide open. He's Cole for the touchdown. And Jacksonville retakes the lead.
The flight deck, 3-1-1. Three wins, a loss, and a push. Nailed the Steelers, the Saints, the Bears. Lost on the Colts. And like everybody else, he pushed on the Chargers. You know, you got to do better than 50%, which is not easy to do to make money. The deck murdered that number in week one. Let's bring him back. Let's see if he can keep this thing going. James Kelly joining me right now. Hey, bro, I know you might not be able to hear me, what with all that money in your hand, but how you living right now, big head?
I was actually having problems hearing you until that Gardner Minshew highlight played over and over, and now I got pretty good reception, Jim.
Good. Hey, listen, really quickly, watching last night's game, how much sweat do you think all of America had overall as Joe Burrow worked his way down the field at the end of that game for the Bengals?
It's funny because people who get down get it, and people who don't have no clue how many people were sitting on the edge of their seats last night watching Burrow do what he did. Look, the Browns should have covered that game, but for the people that bet on him, it hurts. But the Bengals fans and the Bengals bettors, man, they're elated for the whole thing. And usually throughout the whole season, they do make up for themselves. So it is what it is, I guess.
And what it was an all-time backdoor. All right, so let's get right into it. Rams -1 over Philly. This particular line, flight deck, has moved around like crazy, right?
Yeah, it actually started out. You could have gotten the Rams at +3 here, Jim.
Wow.
When they dropped the line, yeah, +3. And now I'm still going to take them at -1. That's how much I think the Rams will win. Look, I would think the last thing the Eagles want to see this week is Aaron Donald, especially after they gave up 8 sacks and 15 quarterback hits in the opener against Washington. And now they have Donald coming to town, so I'm going to ride them. I know Philly's O-line is banged up and injured. They get Lane Johnson back at right tackle and Miles Sanders in the backfield. That should help. But, dude, Carson Wentz, man, he just seems like he's regressed a little bit. And I think Goff might be able to get a couple good plays against that Eagles secondary. They upgraded the Eagles secondary in the offseason, but the Washington football team's not exactly the best Tim play to see how good they are. So I think Goff and the Rams -1, Jim.
Listen, you know why you think that Wentz has regressed a little bit? Because he's getting the holy crap beat out of him because there's nobody in front of him. But I love that line, though.
That is
line, accurate. That line started +3, and it's -1, and you still like the Rams. All right, what about the Niners? They're coming off a tough loss to the Cards, but they're going up against the pathetic Jets. Niners -7. Who you got?
Yeah, there will be one brilliant offensive mind there this weekend at MetLife Stadium on Sunday, and it's not Adam Gase, Kyle Shanahan. I'm going to go with the 49ers.
They've got jokes.
A much better team, obviously, right? And here's the thing. The 49ers didn't look good against the Cardinals, but it's a perfect – I mean, the Jets are the perfect answer for anybody. And I think Kyle will get enough points going. He's short on some weapons, and I'm not sure if George Kittle goes this week, but Jimmy G should be able to expose that Jets secondary. The secondary is like the team, Jim. The Jets are just bad. They're bad overall. And Sam Darnold doesn't have Kyler Murray's legs. So I think San Francisco wins here, and they win big. I'm taking San Francisco -7.
Niners -7 against the Jets. Yeah, no. All right, then you got the Cards and the Washington football team. James, I could not be more impressed with the way Washington came back on Philly, ultra brass. However, I could not be more impressed, period, with the Cardinals. I mean, I don't play favorites. You know this. You've worked here a long time. Kyler Murray might be my favorite football player right now. Cards -6.5 against an inspired Washington football team. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm going with Cards here. I love him. I love Kyler Murray. I'm going -6.5. Look, Washington, like you said, they were great last week and they're well coached, but overall as a team, I just don't think they're that good. But that defensive line is good, and they actually remind you of the 49ers' young talent there. I mean, they have a lot there. And Kyler Murray, who I am as high on as you are, he's got to do exactly what he did to the 49ers last week, Jim, and extend plays and make plays happen. He's the one that beat the 49ers last week with his legs. He's got to do that against this Washington pass rush. And he's got a massive advantage on the outside at DeAndre Hopkins. He's just got to extend these plays to get to him. Like I said, Washington did play good last week, but I think the Cards D look better than they did last year. I think Chandler Jones goes off. I'm going -6.5, Jim, Cards at home.
All right, so write That's all right. of that down. He's got them -6.5 at home. James Kelly, the flight deck, he went 3-1-1 last week. Is there anything else? Like I said, we don't play favorites around here. Hey, look, we don't play favorites around here, but if I were to ask you point blank, who is your favorite MMAer right now? Who would you say?
I would say Khabib at 2.0, Jim, and he's fighting again this week. But I can't get his odds on it. He's still -450 on odds this week. So I'm actually going to hit Colby Covington on the UFC fight. He's got a little bit better odds. They're not great, but I think it's a pretty safe bet. I think Colby Covington wins here. And like you said, is there anything else, dude? There's NBA basketball. There's the U.S. Open. I think I'm going to get down on the U.S. Open pretty quick here.
What do you like?
At Wingfoot. I think I'll probably hedge with either Justin Thomas. Well, I'll hedge with Justin Thomas at +350. And then I'm looking at Bryson DeChambeau at +1,000 right now. So I think I'll probably hit both of those guys. I just need Thomas to make sure he doesn't pull a lefty and melt down the back nine on at Wingfoot again like he did in 06.
Is there anything that you will not bet, dude? We just covered football, MMA, golf, basketball. We know that you were getting down on the weather during the pandemic. Is there anything that you will not bet?
If I'm watching, I'm betting, Jim. I'm throwing down. So I got plenty of open bets right now on my account.
All right. James Kelly, the flight deck. Have a great weekend, bro. And I'll try to text you at 5 a.m. on Sunday, but no promises. All right. There you got his picks. You got it. Nice job. The deck is paying attention to everything. Makes me laugh when he talks U.S. Open. Like he bets golf and pretty effectively. He's got a gigantic head. He loves the cards. How about that Rams line? The Rams started at +3 and they're -1, and he's still taking them at -1. Do you agree or not? It's not a matter of do you agree or not. Do you want to get paid? And the disclaimer now, those picks are for entertainment purposes only and show content. Got that? Just know that if you had translated and converted that entertainment and content into actual picks last week, you would have been paid. He went 3-1-1. When we come back, Jordan Poyer, Buffalo Bills DB, joins me. Good job, James Kelly. Let's see how he does. Follow along with him this weekend. Christian Kirksey, next hour. Alvin's week that was, next hour. Right now, I've got a sports update on a busy Friday. Here you go.
Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Middle of hour number two on a Friday. All right, if you're on hold, stay there. As promised, we are joined right now by a safety for the Buffalo Bills. He had four tackles. He had a forced fumble in Sunday's win. Fourth season with the Bills. An All-American and a first-team All-Pac-12 player at Oregon State. He was the 218th pick overall back in 2013. The Bills are in first at 1-0 in the AFC East, and they are at Miami on Sunday. That is a 1 p.m. Eastern game on CBS. Jordan Poyer is my guest. Jordan, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good. Listen, I know you're already focused on Miami on Sunday, but if you could take me back to last Sunday for a moment, I want to ask you about one play. You made an enormous play early in the fourth. You forced a fumble on a screen pass. You were walking up to the line before the ball was even snapped. What were you seeing before and after the snap on that play?
Yeah, you know, I was just trying to show a split safety, playing man-to-man. So I was just trying to hold my disguise as long as I can. And, yeah, I think it kind of helped. Walking down into the sky as reading the play, I think, kind of helped me get able to read the play. You know, I just saw the tight end block out, so I figured to add to the rush. And, as I was adding to the rush, and I felt him kind of redirect.
Jordan, let me jump in here. Adam, pick him up really quick. Jordan Poyer is my guest. I want to make sure we can reconnect that. I don't want to lose that opportunity. Buffalo Bills safety, Jordan Poyer joining us. The connection's not that good, and I want to make sure that it is so we have the conversation that we're looking to have. Bills, picking up that win in their first week. They've got a matchup with Miami on Sunday. It is a CBS game. The NFL on CBS gets underway at 12 noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. And I'm going to be a part of that program from California. And we go back. Jordan, sorry about that. I want to make sure that we had a good connection. So you were talking about that play and what you saw. Let me ask you this. You reacted so quickly on that play to read it and snuff it out and force the fumble. Like, how satisfying is it when you read a play properly, you know it's going to be bang, bang, and then you're able to make that play and force the turnover?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's extremely satisfying. You know, you work extremely hard throughout the week to prepare yourself to execute at a high level on Sundays. And, you know, whenever you're out there making plays, it's always fun. So, you know, it was just good to go out there and get our first victory and start the season off right. So, you know, it was a fun day for the Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills 1-0. Jordan Poyer, my guest. I've heard you talk about this quite a bit, the notion of doing your 1/11th. For those who do not know, what is it about that, and why is that mindset so important to you?
Yeah, you know, everybody has a job, a specific job within each play. And, you know, it's basically just, you know, not getting out of character, not trying to do too much, just do your job on that specific play. And you know, that's when the plays come to you. You know, when you got 11 guys on the defense, you know, doing their job, whether it's staying in the A-gap or coming down and having to force a run and not getting nosy, you know, that's kind of what doing your 1/11th is just doing your job and make the plays there when they're meant to be made.
All right, so if everybody's doing their own job and nobody tries to do too much, good things happen. As a defense, you held the Jets to a total of 254 yards and just 15 first downs, and you forced a pair of turnovers. Like, how special is this defense, and what is the ceiling for this group?
Yeah, I mean, these guys, we work extremely hard, man. You know, from the offseason, coming into the season, you know, we met up as a defense in the offseason. I know the offense met up in Florida in the offseason. You know, our defense met up in D.C. in the offseason, and, you know, just the gel that we have, you know, the connection that we have with each other, the bond that we have, you know, and just the work ethic that all the guys have. We understand that the sky's the limit for us. You know, we still feel like we're slept on around the league a little bit, so we've got a lot to prove this year. So we're going to continue to work and continue to grind and you know, one day at a time, one week at a time, one game at a time. But, you know, we have goals of our own.
Jordan Poyer is my guest. I'm glad you brought that up. Like, as a defense, a number of guys on that unit met up in Virginia in the offseason. How did the idea come to be, and what was that experience like, especially during the pandemic?
Yeah, you know, we saw the offense kind of do it when they met up in Miami, so we thought it'd be a good idea, you know, that we did it. And so it was kind of just talk amongst ourselves within, you know, probably the week leading up to it. And, you know, we had everybody, most of the guys were down to do it, and, you know, Josh Norman lived out that way, so we had some people stay at his house. Got a couple of hotels for younger guys. And it was just cool to go out there and bond with the guys. And we're out there from like a Monday to a Friday or something like that. So, you know, obviously with the pandemic, couldn't do too much. But we just hung out, you know, went out and got work done on the field. Went paintballing one day, had a volleyball tournament. That guy actually really heated, you know, competition-wise the next day. So it was cool to see, you know, guys coming out all different places and linking up right before the season started. Show how much the guys care.
Talking to Jordan Poyer, I would imagine, Jordan, especially in the offseason, as unusual as that was, I mean, when most of the communication is being done online, how valuable was it to physically be in the same space, connect with each other, and not only do football things, but anything related to anything, just to share that same physical space?
100%. I mean, that was an experience that I'll probably cherish and I'll remember for the rest of my life, you know, because it's unusual, you know, obviously during the pandemic and during the virus, and then, you know, coming into a season with a whole lot of uncertainty, just, you know, we were all kind of uncertain in the offseason, just to be able to, you know, get guys on the same page and come out there and, you know, not even, like I said, I was saying, doing an interview earlier, you know, not even connect on a football level, but connect on a personal level, you know, some of those guys that, you know, you hadn't met before or you've seen, you know, you've just seen on Zoom meetings, and now you're able to connect them on a personal, more personal level. You know, I definitely think that carries over onto the football field on Sunday. Being able to connect off the field, you know, I believe carries over to the success on the field. So, you know, it was a really cool experience for a lot of the guys and a lot of the younger guys coming in. Being able to see how, you know, how we work, how we run, you know, run practice, and how our scout team is going to be running practice, how serious we take, you know, our walkthroughs. And so It was a good experience for everybody.
Bill, safety, Jordan Poyer breaking it down for us. Speaking of the field, I mean, as we know, there's no fan base like the Bills Mafia. You've made the point that when there are no fans in the stands, the sideline itself becomes the 12th man. How important is it for the sideline to bring that juice in a situation like that?
Yeah, obviously you said it, man. No fans in the field. So we all we got, and we all we need mentality. You know, just coming out there, obviously on the road, it might be a little different, but, you know, we got to have everybody, our 12th man on the sideline. You know, it was cool. I play on a kickoff team, and so we were out there lining up for a kickoff, and, you know, nobody in the stands, but the music was playing, our sideline was jumping, and just that type of energy right there. Throughout the whole weekend, I didn't see that in any other football team. But, you know, just that type of energy right there is, you know, that's just the type of team we are, man. We ride and die for each other.
Hey, Jordan, you mentioned the offense. Like, Josh Allen had a huge game Sunday, more than 300 yards passing, more than 50 yards rushing. He had three TDs. And so,
obviously, the timing probably had to get pushed a little bit faster, but those guys worked extremely hard. You know, Josh in his third year, he's taking command of the offense. And you can tell he has a lot more control with himself and with the play calling. So it's fun to watch, man. It's fun to watch, and you know, it's fun to get. It was fun to get better going against that offense each day at training camp. You know, because obviously they have some weapons over there. So you got Diggs, you got Knox, you got John Brown, you got Motor. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, Josh being able to take off with his legs and obviously throw the ball a mile. So they made us better. We made them better. And so you know, it's really cool to see that offense develop.
Jordan Poyer joining us for a few more moments, and then you've got another unusual challenge this weekend in Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm laughing because this guy's like, he's the ultimate pro, right? I mean, the guy's been so many places and won so many games and made so many plays. I know you're really familiar with him. So when you're getting ready for a guy who's played as long as he has and knows scheme as well as he does, what is the key to limiting him?
Yeah, you just got to limit the big plays. You know, you got to limit the big plays. You got to find ways to take the football away and give our offense a short field. But, you know, a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, you got to respect his game. He's been playing the game a long time. He's won a lot of football games. He's seen every defense played. And he's a savvy vet, and he's going to try to make all the throws. He believes he can make all the throws, which, you know, it works out good for him sometimes, and it works out good for the opposing team sometimes. So, you know, when the opportunities present themselves, we got to take advantage of them. You know, but he's got weapons around him, so you know, it's not going to be any sort of walk in the park at all. He had to come down there and execute and play well.
And Jordan, you before the season were named one of the team captains, and it seems to me like in an NFL locker room, it's a different place than almost any place in the world where you've got 53 alphas. If you're somebody who actually separates from that group in a good way like that and named a team captain, that really is an honor. What's that honor mean to you, and how much pride do you take in that role?
Yeah, man. You know, the day I was told, you know, I was captain, it was, you know, I didn't get to reflect on, you know, actually being a captain until, you know, we got off work that day about 5:30, 6 o'clock, and I was driving home. And I kind of got emotional a little bit just because, like you said, you know, that's 53 guys in the locker room. You know, they all look at you and see you as somebody who is their leader. And so, you know, I've worked extremely hard to get to this point in my career. 8 years in, 7th round pick, you know, a lot of people counted me out, you know, for a long time. You know, a lot of people still count me out, but, you know, just to be able to be in that position, I'm extremely honored, and I know with that comes a lot of responsibility. And, you know, like I said earlier, I know at this point in my career, you know, I'm ready for that responsibility.
You know, Jordan, last thought, you brought this up, and you and I have talked about it in the past, but you were the 218th pick in the draft when you came out. Most guys picked there do not last in the league, let alone play 8 years and end up being named a team captain. What do you attribute that to? The fact that you've not only lasted but played at such a high level and were picked where you were picked. How were you able to do that?
You know, just you know, I couldn't have done it without obviously one, my family. You know, the way I grew up. You know, never taking no for an answer. I always feel like you got to prove somebody wrong. And then, you know, just my friends, you know, guys that I've been around, you know, older guys that have taken me in, like Jim Lennons when I was young, to Sean Gibson, to the Dante Whitners, and then even to the guys that I'm around now, you know, the Micah Hyde, the Tre'Davious White,
You know, those are the type of guys that make me want to play better and make me want to level up my game. And so, even you have a guy coming on after me, Christian Kirksey. Shout out to Turco, man. Me and Turco go back a long ways in our Cleveland days. You know, guys like him, I see him coming as a third-round pick, and he was younger than me. But I looked up to him, you know, and he was playing a lot more than I was. And so he was somebody, you know, that pushed me to become a player that, you know, that I am today. You know, I could thank a million people, you know, to get to where I am today. But if I had to choose a core, obviously it'd be my mom, dad, my family, my brother, my wife, you know, obviously my daughter. And then, you know, just the core group of guys that I've been around throughout the league that have pushed me to get to where I'm at.
It's a great journey, and I can even argue that your best is in front of you, not behind you. Buffalo 1-0, they're in first in the AFC East, and they've got another big one coming up against Miami on Sunday. That is a CBS game, a safety for the Bills, Jordan Poyer. Jordan, great to have you back. I always appreciate the conversation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you, man. Great talking to you, Jordan. Like I said, great, great story. 218th pick back in 2013. 8 years in, playing at a high level and a team captain on a Bills defense, which is getting better and better and better. And referencing a guest who we have upcoming, Jordan is on the details. He knows what's going on. All right, so we start the third hour with an open phone segment. 1-800-636-8686. We've already talked about America's team. I accept your apology about America's team. We talked about the Celtics. They imploded. Not the way the Clippers imploded, but you got guys yelling at each other, allegedly thinking about giving each other the hands. Miami's got that kind of effect on teams. They're not the only ones that Miami's done that to. You've got the Nuggets and the Lakers. Who do you like there? Nick Hardwick is my guest on episode 143 of the Jim Rohn Podcast. I will try and give you a preview of that, too.